Blog Talk Radio.
Again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table with me is Sister Mary. How are you doing this evening, Mama? Welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and welcoming Sister Mary Ann Williams. How are you doing this evening, Mama? Well, good evening once again to the PR table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table with us is Sister Mary Ann Williams. How are you doing this evening, Mama?
Okay, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I guess we had some type of technical difficulty at the beginning of the show, but God is still in control, so everything is going according to plan. Well,
amen.
Tonight, my brothers and my sisters, we are jumping back into where we left off with from last week. And for those of you who maybe listened to us for the first time, where we are right now here on the PRF table is we're talking about financial resources, and specifically we're talking about availability, needs, and effectiveness. So this is our fourth show, if I recall, Sister Mary.
Yes.
And 3 weeks ago is when we began this shift. So I think the song that we just played for y'all was just really, really fitting. So we decided to go in a shift of the PRF table, and what we're doing is we're conducting a comprehensive analysis of resources that are made available to the religious or to the faith-based community. And I think that's important because oftentimes there's challenges that we have within our own churches, within our own synagogues, our own mosques, where sometimes we don't know what's available to us. We don't have certain things that are available to us. And sometimes that can make us be jaded in our opinions and our thoughts. And I know some people that actually turn their back on God because they say, how can God allow certain things to happen if God owns everything? If he owns the cattle, all the cattle on the hills, if God is in control of everything, then why are certain things happening? And I believe it's important for people to be able and free to be able to ask those questions, not only just of God, but also of those of us who actually go and attend these different religious communities, such as a church, and also for those of us like myself who are in ministerial positions. I think it is a very positive thing for people to ask the question why. So tonight, what we're going to actually be focusing on is different types and different formats of resources that I would say they could be made available to you, or in some cases that should be made available to you. I think that when we do that, we really need to be open, we need to be free, we need to be honest, and what God has done has allowed us to go in this direction. One of the things that we've done was we've created a survey, and again, Mama, I don't know how I'm going to give it to the world at large, but I'm seeking God for the best way to do it. But what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks is I've been coordinating, communicating with pastors and other ministerial leaders in the southern part of the United States, the southeastern part of the United States, particularly in South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. And I've been talking to pastors and letting them know what direction God has been taking me and how he's been directing us to deal with it on this show. And I have some surveys. I've been giving surveys to them, and we've been talking about it on the show, so I just want us to be able to just continue on from where we were last week. And I want us to focus on one thing. The first thing I want us to focus on tonight is what are the resources, what type of resources are made available to address financially related needs by the religious organization. Now, they may sound like we're kind of going backwards a little bit, and we may be going back just a tad because when we first mentioned that several weeks ago when we first began talking about this particular topic of financial resources, we really didn't hone down into it. For those of you who were listening and recall, what we did, and we had several people at the table communicating, it was just a beautiful, beautiful sight to hear, was we were allowing people to just communicate what type of resources are made available to them in their own religious organizations. But tonight, what I want to do is take that information, those who are at the table, you know, we want you to join in, press 1, and we'll see you light up on a switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation. But we want to talk about tonight what are all the different types that I've been able to identify, that I've been able to place into this survey, because sometimes if we are able to see what something is, if I'm able to read what something is, then I may start thinking about what it is that is available or not available in my own house. And then the second question I think we're going to deal with tonight, if we get around to it, is what formats are actually used in addressing the financial-related needs or concern. And once again, what we dealt with a couple of weeks ago when we brought that question to the forefront, when we had several people sitting at the table, was asking them what was available, what type and what format was available to them in their own religious setting. The difference again tonight is we're going to try to throw out information about all of the different types that we have knowledge of. And then with that information, we want people to just join into the conversation to be able to say, you know what, I never thought about that. Or, yes, we actually do have this here. And Sister Mary, I'll let you jump in here now. I think that's important because we have to be willing to know what is available to us as ministerial leaders and what we're making available as ministerial leaders, because I don't want us to get sidetracked at all thinking that it's just the minister's fault, it's just the pastor's fault, it's just the imam's fault, it's just the rabbi's fault if something is not being provided. I think that we have to be looking at it from a different angle or a different perspective. Let's identify what's there, and then we can talk about who are the people that are involved in these processes. So, Sister Mary, what has transpired in your life? Let's just start there. You know, I believe we were talking a little bit earlier, and you were communicating some good stuff. And let me tell you, all those of you who are listening right now, I think that what we're about to do is very, very crucial. Because what it can do, it can let other people know that if we are willing to have the conversation, if we are willing to have a dialogue, which is a back and forth, not a back and forth like I'm right and you're right or you're wrong and I'm wrong or I'm right and you're wrong, but actually hearing what the other person is saying. And what my hopes is and what my prayer is for those who are in your community, Mama, the people who are in your community, if the people in your community, specifically your church community, again, our focus is what type of resources are made available to those within your own church body. If people can hear you talking as somebody who has, over the last couple of weeks, been taking the information that we've been presenting on the PRF table, taking it, letting God use you in the way that only God can use you, going back to your congregation, talking with your pastor, saying, hey, what's up with this? What about this? What about that? And now you become a more educated, not Christian, but a more educated church member.
Right,
and if you're a more
right.
educated church member, then you are able to be a more effective Christian, I believe. If you have more knowledge about what's going on in your church from a positive perspective, I'm not talking about all the foolishness that's going on, but from a positive perspective about what we're talking about, what resources, what's there, how can I access them? If you are able to do that, that makes you a more effective Christian, because then it makes you more attractive to the people outside of the four walls. And people hear you talking outside of the four walls, people who may have been hurt, may have decided they wanted to leave the church, may have been decided that I need to go to another religion, whatever the case may be, you're able to witness to that individual in a whole different way because your conversation is a little bit different. So if you can, I'm going to just drop the mic for a minute and let you just run with it and tell us what's been going on in your house.
Okay. I just, I'm telling you, this has really stirred me up. And as I was thinking this last night, I went to my business meeting because I wanted to know what was going on. Okay. What has happened to is that why have not, I questioned myself. I have been with the Lord over 20-some years, and I have never ask what the resources of the church is. And why is that? Because I had some needs. It's because it's my pride. And it would keep all of us from getting the resources we need in our time of need. And so I chose pride and ignorance. And, you know, Paul said, he wished we don't be ignorant. But I chose to be ignorant. And so why would I choose to be ignorant? Because because if I don't have the knowledge, I don't have to be accountable. Mm. And my other excuse is that I don't want them in my business. I don't want them in my business. So to me, and I would not even be doing this now. I still would have been at the church not asking anything had it not been for the show.
Praise God.
And I really didn't want, really to be transparent, I just really didn't want to ask. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to explain everything to me. But so it's my pride. And because of my pride, it also put me in an ignorance state of mind because I don't have the knowledge, you know, and my excuses. And I hear that, I don't want them in my business. They're going to tell my business. You know what I'm saying? But the resources are there. And so I like the part that you said about, you know, I feel I am an educated church member now, so I can be a more effective Christian, you know,
Wow. To
people that I see in Walmart or whatever, because I'm just led to talk to people or whatever, you know what I'm saying, as the Lord leads me to. And these people, I've met so many people have needs, you know.
Right.
They don't need so much the word. They just start talking about their need, and I don't have nothing to say to them what my church is doing about the needs. Why? Because I choose to be ignorant. You know what I mean? So I thank you for this show, for you, you know, allowing God to use you, and you being obedient to God and what He's called you to do. And so with that being said, I'm going to go on to what I found out, and it was just amazing. We are, our church, we are partnered with another ministry, and it's called Onslow Community Outreach Ministry. And he was sharing, when I was asking questions, he was sharing with me that, you know, there were so many needs in the church. And he says, and we cannot fulfill all the needs in the church. So he felt that it's necessary to get with to partner with someone else that has some different, had more, so that the person can be whole.
Mm.
And so, this is just awesome. And so now, if I'm, for some reason, I'm homeless, you know what I'm saying? They have a homeless shelter that they would recommend. I mean, they would call, my church would call, and then they would set an appointment with them. I would go in, and they would help me, and they would get me in the shelter. I'll be in the shelter for 30 days. Meanwhile, I have to report to the director my goals every week. And, of course, you know, they have curfew and things of that nature. And, of course, they don't have, you know, anything for children at this particular facility. And we're also connected with the North Carolina Homeless Assistance Database. So now I know this. If someone comes to me, I can do a little research, you know what I'm saying, to help them out. And we also are connected to the Women's Center, which is the Safe House. So if I was in there and having a problem, you know what I'm saying, problem, then that's where they would lead me. Now, they also have a medical center. And so the medical center take care of people from 18 to 64. And your medical, your dental, and everything's taken care of. They have a medical assistance program. And then they also have referrals to other providers if they cannot do that. They also have health education workshops, you know, for us. I'm telling you, I would have known this. And this is also, it's for college students, well, seasonal workers, people that work on the farm, and then something happened that they're no longer needed. They can get some assistance. And then they're for college students without financial, you know, help. But, of course, you have to qualify for this. But this was something that was interesting to me. Now, with this here, with the medical care, it says, you have to meet 200% of federal poverty guidelines. And I'm saying,
really?
What does that mean? You have to meet. That's one of their the laws there, that you have to meet to get into the medical part of the program. You have to be 200% below the poverty level. And that's guidelines for that. Also, when it comes to the rent and to your rent and to your utilities, what happens is that the church has partnered up with them, and we support that ministry, you know, monthly. And so, if someone comes and they don't have all their rent, you know, their rent money, we pay a portion of it, and then they will pay the other portion of it, and the rent will go to they make it's an agreement that they have. So you don't get any money in your hands. It goes to the landlord or to the utility company. So it's an agreement that they have, you know, I guess they have with landlords. This is the way they do it, you know what I'm saying? And something else that was really interesting to me, they were saying that the majority, now this is the Onslow Community Outreach, it said the majority of the funding comes from the United Way of Onslow County, Trinity United Methodist Church, and First Presbyterian Church. And I was really moved by that.
Wow.
Because they're not, I'm moved by that. Hallelujah. I am moved by that. Because it doesn't matter what the denomination is. They want to help.
Okay.
They want to do what Jesus did when he asked people, what can I do for you? He got ready to heal them. He didn't ask them, you know, what did you do? Did you do this? He just said, what can I do for you? It doesn't matter how you got there. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited. But I was excited about that. I said, look at the different denominations involved here to help to help everybody. And then I can see why my pastor would partner with them, because we have more than just a rent need. They also have apartments that they can rent to you. They have homes that can you can rent to buy. You know? So I said, boy, I did not know this. I did not know this. So I'm just thankful to God. You know, it's a reason why why I'm on this, why you're doing this show, because it's really helping your mama. I'm telling you. Because I just was ignorant to all of this, that I don't have to be, you know, going to my family. Go to my church. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But again, we all have to know that we do have pride. We don't want people in our business. And we know a lot of times, you know, but hey, when we're in need, we need to do what we need to do. And we that as Christians, don't put the burden on our family. Here, you know, find out what the resources of at your church, and you never know. And like I was talking to you about this, and you said, well, I didn't know about it because it wasn't aired in church. I only know at the business meetings, this, and I wasn't paying attention to that before. So only this time, because I'm paying attention, do I know that we had this. So like
That's
you
right.
said, it was a disconnect.
And we have a caller that wants to jump in, so but let me, if you will, I want to just briefly talk about something just to give people a deeper understanding of where all this is coming from. Back in 2011, one of the things I did in my own community was I did a survey for the citizens and the patrons of the two communities closest to me where I live. And this research, what it did, I was focusing on a communal response to address really conditions of debt and conditions of poverty. So I'm piggybacking off of what you said about this poverty thing.
Yes.
And in this research, I had subjects of education and poverty and welfare and the economic and the wealth gap, if I recall correctly. And when I talked about these subjects in the survey and how I formed them, it was intentionally broad in nature, so only as to provide a starting point for dialogue so that then we can get to a specific focus, right? So
yes.
The people who participated were from all, think about what you just said, they were from all diverse religious backgrounds. And I'm talking about leadership or in leadership positions and organizations. And what came out of this survey back in 2011 was that education, not poverty and welfare, but education, not debt, education was the most pressing concern in our community. 87.5% of the people who participated in this research said that education was the most pressing concern. Poverty and welfare was not a concern at all. That boggled my mind because I'm looking at the community, not necessarily where I live, but my community is every place in the community of this city and in this state. Let me tell you what was interesting. I found out that 86 out of 101 churches and religious organizations were the ones that was centered inside of the most poverty-stricken neighborhoods in these two cities. So I started having mixed feelings about whether the leaders' concerns about education were representative of what people were actually expressing or what they understood to be the realities of what was going on within their own community. Let me say this, and then I'll go to our caller. The number of people in poverty has increased. I'm giving you a statistic. The number of people in poverty has increased from 33 million in 2000 to 48 million in 2012. That's in the United States. the number of people in poverty living in my state of Alabama increased from 672,000 to 892,000. 999,000 to 1.8 over in Georgia. So to me, that sounds like, you know, education is good, but there's still a poverty and a wealth disparity that's there. So I say this. Jesus said, I come to give life and give life more abundantly. I don't know about you, Sister Marion. I'm coming to our call of 2023. But if we had that many people living in poverty in America, if our poverty keeps on increasing, but yet not our giving is increasing, but also our spending, it's just going through the roof, then that tells me that we got some kind of problem. And I'm sure that when I finish doing this survey and finish doing this research over the next couple of weeks, that I'm guaranteeing you that we're going to find out some of this of what we've been talking about is true. Carla, welcome to the PRS table. What is going on?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Y'all are on fire tonight.
I don't know what it is.
I wanted to chime in. I missed a few calls, but, you know, needed to make sure that I had the full picture. So I wanted to chime in on what Sister Mary said about not being afraid to ask, you know, in that she took ownership of the fact that she didn't know some of the resources that were offered in her church because she didn't ask. And that is a big thing. That's very big because you, just like with everything else, you have to do your due diligence. So if you're afraid to ask in your church, but you can ask your boss on the job, you know.
Come on now.
Can I have an advance? You know, I need an advance because I got to, you know, your rent is due or whatever. You can ask all that, but you can't find out the resources that are available to you. And most times, you know, you don't owe anything back. You may have to modify your behavior a little, like Sister Mary said that you know some people had a curfew when they stayed in the shelter, but they may not have had to pay rent. So if you ask about the resources, a lot of time, and once you know the resources that are available to people, that opens your platform for ministry. And I don't mean, you know, to be a pastor, apostle, preacher, teacher. You don't have to be all of that. You don't have to be one of the fivefold. You can just be a person, just regular old me, ministering to my regular old neighbor right here because she's in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have knowledge of a resource that my church offers, she may not have been ever heard about Christ. So now we have a window. Now I have
That's
a window. Oh, you need rent money? Well, you know my church. We have a program. Well, we'll match your rent, or we'll make up the difference in your rent for 3 months. Come talk to my pastor. You have a platform to, you know, speak into her life or his life, whoever it may be. But if you don't know about those resources that are available, then how can you be that ready resource to that person?
Right.
Now you can speak Christ to some people, but if they're so bogged down with the natural, some people won't see or feel the spiritual because the natural is beating them down. But if you open the door with the natural, you can draw them with the spiritual, you know, as well. You can bring them in. That's the segue for some people. But if you don't know the resources that are available in the church, then you put yourself at a disadvantage. And not just for other people, for yourself. Because when you know, just like Sister Mary also said, you know, instead of going to your family, well, I say this, the church is supposed to be my family too. We're
That's
brothers
right.
and sisters in Christ. So, you know, I don't necessarily feel like we should make the distinction between blood relatives and relatives in Christ. But the thing is, as your sister, as your brother in Christ, if there is a need and you know that there's resources available, before you get to a place where it's crisis, you can access those resources. So that's another thing I wanted to mention. And then you talked about education.
Mm-hmm.
So education is very key as well. So if you look at it in the natural, everybody's chasing the books. You know, everybody's going to college or getting a trade or, you know, going to the vocational schools, whatever. If you take that and switch it over to the spiritual side, you have a duty to yourself to prepare yourself in college. You have a duty to yourself and those around you because we are supposed to be ministering to the world. We're in the world, not of the world. We're supposed to be drawing, you know, people to Christ and pointing them in the right direction. So we need to have our books, our information in our books for school, for college. We need to have our information, you know, for the resources that are available to them spiritually too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, it's not even just finances either, because you can have finances, but if you don't know how to use it as a resource and leverage it to put you in a better situation, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Because look at
That's all right. Of
the people who won the lottery and then they're broke 2 months later because they don't know how to use those resources wisely. So it's not about gaining the resources either. It's about learning how to use them. So that's my comment for the evening.
Well, I'm a jump in there. The thing that I like you what you said was open the door with the natural to help bring them into the spiritual. You know, that shouldn't be a shocker to anybody who has certain knowledge about the Bible or a certain knowledge about Christ, because that's what Christ did.
Right.
He didn't deal with the blind man. I know somebody's heard me say this before. He didn't deal with the blind man and say, accept me as your personal Lord and Savior and then get saved. And then I'll heal you.
Right.
He didn't deal with the one with the issue of blood and said, believe in me first and then I'll heal your condition. He didn't make the lame man walk after they had to accept. He didn't go through that. He didn't put what Sister Mary, well, Mom, what you said, you talked about a criteria, and I want to go back to that briefly. I guess we only going to get to one question on the survey tonight, but that's all right. Backtracking just a little bit on this poverty thing. The reason I read what I read to you about the research that was done and what the poverty levels was, or how poverty has increased over the years and what it is in my community is, you said that that medical assistance piece, right?
Yes.
That people have to be, the criteria that you mentioned was being 200% below the poverty level.
Yes.
Do you happen to know what the poverty level is? And do you know how bad off you need to be 200% below the poverty level? In order for me to be 200, for a person, I ain't going to say me, for a person to be 200% below the poverty level, don't you think they need to know what the poverty level is?
Right.
Let's go here. Let's go here.
Yeah.
Because some of this has the challenge. If a person making $20,000 to live, $20,000, that's what they have as income, $20,000 in North Carolina, that may not be below the poverty level. Below, that may not be the poverty line. The poverty line may be 19%. So they're 1% over the poverty line. So they ain't going to qualify at all because they're not below the poverty level.
Right.
Well, where do you need to be at 200% below 19,000? Really? That says that you pretty much have to be living out on the street.
Right.
And I don't believe that our mandate as believers, as a church body, is that the criteria has to be so low in order for us to help. Now, let me give a caveat here. I'm going to say, because I believe it, what you have in your church is a good thing. But there is another group of people that may be above the poverty level that still need medical assistance. So the question then begs, what about those? What about those individuals who are not 200%? What about the person who may just be 50% below the poverty level? Poverty level may be 19%, $19,000 a year, and they're making $12,000 a year. So all I'm saying is I'm throwing that out there as a challenge of thinking. Romans 12, right? Renew your mind. Let's renew our mind and our thinking, not saying to change what you're doing in your church or what the pastor's vision and how God allowed him to be involved with these partnerships. But I'm saying that because I don't want people to, one, take a negative connotation about what I'm saying or saying, you know what, the same thing I'm saying, 200% below the poverty level, that's pretty much in bad shape.
Right. But
what we are saying is that we want to be careful as believers, as a body of Christ, whether in my church, your church, the Tower's church, mm-hmm. we want to be careful about how we set the criteria of the world versus the criteria of God.
Yes.
What was the criteria that Jesus gave to the man who was blind? What criteria did he give to the man who was lame? What criteria did he give to the woman with the issue of blood? Watch this. What criteria did he give to you before he helped us? What criteria did God give us before he put breath in our body or continue to allow breath to be in our body so we can wake up this morning? Oh, my goodness.
Come on now.
So, ooh, you stirred up something else. So this is the thing. There may be a need for the criteria of those people because that's the target audience, I guess, for
right.
that particular program. But that doesn't
them,
mean
right.
that we only target poverty. That's because you can be perfectly fine. You can be doing well in life, but that doesn't mean I can't mm-hmm. be a resource to you still because you're doing
that's
well
right.
financially. I can still, and that's the thing about networking and knowing people and being with people of like mind and, you know, forward thinking, paying it forward, that kind of thing, is you set somebody else up for success when you know they're going in a particular direction. If you can give them a stepping stone to advance themselves, then that individual may reach back and pull you up with them. Or they may have a stepping stone that they can put down for you and you advance you later on in life. So honestly, that to me is what it should be like, you know, amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, is that not just when you have this or you're in crisis or you have a need that's detrimental, I know a situation or I know of a person that can advance your ministry or your goal or whatever it may be, hey, I want to put you two together because, you know, you were talking about, you know, you wanted to open a construction business and this person is a contractor, you know? So maybe y'all need to sit down and talk and have a few conversations and maybe you can make some things happen. You know, that should be going on all the time. It's not always about resources. It's not only about, I guess I should say, resources for people who are less fortunate or lacking or whatever. But not only should it be for those, but it should extend beyond that. So that is mm-hmm. It's a constant pulling and pushing. You know, you pulling the person up and pushing the next person forward. As you step forward, you push the person in front of you forward, and then you reach back and pull somebody up, and the person in front of you is pulling you up. So that everybody can move up. And that's how you get rid of that poverty, that 200% below the poverty line criteria, because we're all pulling
mm-hmm.
each other up instead of, you know, you getting yours and watching the next person struggle, or either not being concerned enough or confident enough, whatever it may be, to ask the question about the resources. Because just like a college student without financial aid or without a parent who has college funds, they have to go ask somebody. They have to go ask the FAFSA counselor or, you know, the guidance counselor at school, how can I get some scholarships or grants?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, you ask the question. Once you get those resources in your tool belt, you can be a blessing to a wide range of people.
Right. And I think it's necessary, too, that we define what resources are, because some people don't understand what resources are. And one of the things that I did way back in the day was tell people what resources are. And resources is really simple. It's something that can be used to support or help someone else. something that can be used to deal with a difficult situation. It can be some, it can be some assistance. It can be a source of aid. Something that can be used by somebody in a time of need.
Right.
That's just real basic in general. So resources, for example, my job is a resource for me to obtain money every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is a resource for you to obtain that retirement in 15 years or 5 years or however long it takes a person to retire. But the most greatest resource that we have is each other.
Right.
The greatest resource. You know what? I guess I'm going back to something that Mama said. There's a commentary that I use on the person that's Adam Clark. I use Adam Clark's commentary when I want to look up one. That's usually the first one that I look up. I don't use them a lot. But remember when I was talking about that abundant life? Like Jesus said, I came light, give life, and give more abundantly. One of the things that he was talking about was that what Jesus promised in that was not only an abundance of salvation, but love, peace, life, and grace. I said, that's some good stuff. So I agree with him, right? I believe that's true. I believe that is a true statement, even though it's not a Bible verse. But I think his point is only one-sided. Because when Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it more abundantly, I don't believe that means only in the afterlife. I believe that also means right now here on earth.
Oh, yeah.
I believe
right.
by only focusing on the spiritual, like some people may do, what those individuals and also what Clark is doing is really overlooking what I would say is the deeper reality that people who live in this physical world has physical needs. We can't get away from the physical needs part, right?
Amen.
So I'm thinking and I'm believing that churches that are so overly spiritual, so spiritually overpostured, forget that the physical needs is one of the things that God actually uses to even bless the church.
Right.
If everybody was so super spiritual, if it was just trust God, let me blow that one out the water. Just trust God. Let's just trust God and not tithe. Pastor, just trust God. None of us are going to tithe, though, but just trust God.
Right.
If you have a mortgage on your church, just trust God. Now all of a sudden it is, you know what, brothers and sisters, trust God to provide a physical need. So we can't play this game. None of us can play this game where it's one or the other. These two things work in concert with one another all the time. Just like PRF, possessions, resources, and finances. One does not exist without the other. You just don't get money without something else being connected to it. A resource is involved in it. You just don't have possessions without spending some money or having somebody as a resource giving it to you and blessing you. It just doesn't happen. So I just think for us, there's a book that I love so much. It's called Treasures in Earthen Vessels, and it's by James Gustafson, something like that. But he talks about the church as different communities, and he talks about a natural community. And he talks about a natural community, and I love this. He gave several different types of community, political community, a natural community. To me, the natural community really, really grabbed a hold to me when he talked about it. And he said it meets the physical necessities of humankind as one of its primary or important functions. A church would be unnatural that only responds during times of famine, right? This is me talking now. A church would be an unnatural community if it only responds in a time of crisis. A church would be an unnatural community if we only respond when there's a tornado that hits a community down the street from my house. It is a natural thing for us to respond and to deal with the physical needs of mankind as well as the spiritual needs. They have to work together. That's what I'm saying. That's what I believe. That's what I'm taking from this whole thing. Jesus' ministry was a holistic ministry. One of y'all said that earlier. It's holistic. It ain't one-sided. I mean, you even listen to the model prayer, right, in Matthew. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It ain't just about heaven, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Once you saved, you saved, to all of my Christian brothers and sisters. Once we saved, we saved.
Mm-hmm.
We don't lose that. We don't lose it. So we don't have to focus on that piece all of the time. Y'all going to make me say something in church when I preach on Sunday.
Say it.
Well, say it.
All right. So let me throw this out here. We got however long we got left on the show for tonight. So one of the questions on the survey is, what resources are made available to address the financially related needs of, needs by the religious organization? So in asking that question, remember the survey, this first survey that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is resources available to the religious community. So we're talking about what is available in your house to the people of your house. And I think it's a good thing to make to bring the understanding that we're not just talking about the members. You can't talk about made resources available to the religious community and not include the person who's leading the flock.
Right.
We can't omit them. And I know that would take us into a whole other area, so I'm glad the table is not full right now. But I want us to make sure that when we deal with this question, that I can answer this question as a member of a religious organization, even though I'm a minister. Because it's not about the church taking care of me. It's about us taking care of each other.
That's right.
And also, that also means that we can't omit the man or woman of God, the men and women of God, in this whole process of needs being met. So I'm going to go on a soapbox for about 30 seconds. I was telling them at church the other night, I said, or maybe last week, I said, look, you can't pay a pastor enough to pastor. I said, you could pay a pastor $50,000 a month. I said, you can't pay enough. You can't put a dollar amount on it. I said, you don't know what it takes for me to come in here Wednesday after Wednesday and minister to y'all. The research and allowing God to move in my life and to make sure that I'm saying the right things and bringing to you what God will want me to bring to you to help you and benefit you in your life today, practical application to be able to be on my P's and Q's and be able to be honest if I don't know an answer to a question. That takes work, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing it on Wednesday night consistently in addition to the show. This takes work. We just don't come and just start talking about stuff, you know. We got to do stuff right, decent and in order. So when I throw that question out, let me give you what the choices are. The first choice was or is religious books and scriptures. So, for example, what religious book? If we're a Christian, is it the Bible? If we're a Christian, is there something out of the Torah? What is it? What type of scriptures? What basic things do we have being offered to us to help address financially related matters within our own congregation? Is it just, well, that's one of them. I don't even want to give my sermon. That's one of them. The other choice is financial literature. So, for example, what type of books? I mentioned Gustafson. I mentioned my Adams Clark commentary. And when I say made available, right, I know this as a resource because I use it because I'm an educator. But everybody in the church may not know it. So if I get up to preach, am I able to communicate to the people more than just a scripture? Am I able to provide them a good book that deals with us being a natural community so that they can get an understanding so when they read the Bible, they understand here's an example of a natural community versus just reading a Bible story. One of the other choices is educational. So, for example, PRF is an educational model. Crown Financial Ministries, I'm not going to hate on my colleagues. Financial Peace, I'm not going to hate on my colleagues. Teachers and Tutors. And then I also have on here social media. Facebook, for example? Is that a resource that's being made available? Because there's a lot of information on Facebook.
Yes.
What about Blog Talk Radio, such as what we're doing, the PRF table specifically? Do we use Skype? What about webinars? So all those things fall in the realm of social media. So I'll let y'all take it. You know, what's your thoughts on the choices that I'm providing for people to be able to answer that question? And are there any more that you can think of that can fit into that category of the resources? And, again, I'm not talking about individuals necessarily at this particular time.
I think all of those are resources. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something specifically on finances. It could be a fictional novel. Because if it triggers something in somebody and it causes a change, a positive change in the right direction, maybe just the character in the novel is what, you know, makes the person see the error of their ways. If that's what that's what it is, that's a resource. Maybe you gave them
that's
the
right.
book, just saying, girl, this 50 Shades of Grey. Now, that's a crazy book, I hear, but if that's the resource that triggers the positive change in the person, like maybe they start telling me about 50 Shades of Grey and it opens the door for me to minister to them. Hey, if I'm a part of a group and I hear one person give the book to another person and then it opens the door for me to minister, then that's a app, that's a tool that was used to open that door. If another book, a self-help book, that doesn't even reference scripture, but if it's a self-help book that helps the individual look at themselves and look at their lives and see that something is truly missing, and I have the opportunity to say, okay, come to Christ, these are the things that we have to offer, this is something I can help you with. My brother, you know, was in that situation, and this is what he did to get out of it. Whatever it may be, it becomes a resource if I can help that person. So I think all of that, social media, books, the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, because a Christian person can get something from the Quran.
That's right.
It just depends on what, you know, what's going on in their life at that time. We all are very unique beings. So there, you know, what your life-altering moment is going to be totally different from what mine is. We could be in a similar situation, but if a cup of coffee is what triggers you to change, and, you know, it takes me, you know, to, you know, fall on my face and be buried in Bibles to change, it doesn't matter. But both of those tools brought about the change, or they were the avenue to bring about the change, then those are both resources.
You're helping me out because this is one of the things that I believe I'm going to do as I continue to work on this research and build this PRF model. Is I think there needs to be some non-religious, non-Christian books or literature that people can actually get a hold to that is short in nature. You know, I could tell you all day long, if it's a 70-page book, I can read it. When you start talking about 150-200 pages, I'm going to look and find what chapters I'm just trying to get to. Because I'm just being honest with you, because of how my time is. I just know I don't have time just to sit down and read books like that. You know, I was talking to a chap in the day, and he was like, have you ever read this? I was like, no, sir. Have you ever read this? No, sir. He said, how'd you make it through college without reading that? And I started telling him because I went to an HBCU. That wasn't one of the ones on the list. But everybody has different literature that works for them. The whole point of it was whatever he had, that helps him. And so when we have things that help us, we want to share that information with other people. So I think what I'll do, Shatara, is I'm going to actually look at putting together a list of recommended literature in addition to the literature for the PRF program, because you said it and you hit the nail on the head. It's not always going to be religious nature. It's not always going to be that way. And when you said that, you know what I went back and thought about? I thought about one of my favorite books, probably the first book that I read all the way through when just for reading it. Who Moved My Cheese? Those of you who have read that book, oh, my goodness. But there's so much in that book, and it's like not even 100 pages, if I recall correctly, 87 pages, if I'm not mistaken. But there's so much in that book that deals with stuff that you were talking about, Mom. You talked about pride. You talked about ignorance. Shatara, you talked about fear. So we have to be willing to do just like Jesus. You know what? If it takes me sitting down and breaking bread with you over Who Moved My Cheese, or chapter two and talking to you about Scurry and Skip and Skippy, you know, the two mice and the characters in the story, and then say, okay, well, who is that? Which one are you? You see what I'm saying? That will help us to attract a whole lot more people, because the bottom line is, and I hate to say bottom line, you know, I'm starting to sound like Brother Feaster, some folks just don't want to deal with us because of our over-spiritual nature sometimes. So please, good gracious, can we just get down with people however they are? You know, my brother-in-law don't go to church. I don't need to be talking to him about the Bible. Maybe I just need to get to know him. Maybe I just need to listen to what's going on with him. Maybe I can hand him Who Moved My Cheese and do just like Shatara said, you done got us going. What is it that triggers the positive change? You know how many times people done purchase Bibles to give to people and people don't read them? The booksellers are happy. They're happy. But what positive change has come out of that? Nothing happens until somebody makes something happen. So
I would like to jump in here.
Go ahead, Mo.
Please.
Go ahead.
You know, God says the greatest gift of all is love. And so when people are hurting, you know, they just need to feel compassion from us. Getting back to the church, not us trying to get them to the church, you know, for a pack of pew.
That's right.
Or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? They need to just need someone to be kind to them. And he said, the love of God draw all men to me. So if we show the person love, you know, they don't need to know what they know that they're alcoholic. They know their own drug. They don't need to hear it from us. They just need to know that we love them. And I can give you an example. When I was back home, it was this lady. I had just moved there, and it was this lady, you know, she was on drugs. I could tell she was on drugs. But I used to go walk, and it seemed like I would see her all the time. And I would, you know, we would talk. And she would talk about the Lord, you know. And then I'd go my way, she'd go her way. Well, to make a long story short, I was at home not thinking about anything. And then it was like Spirit said, go to the store. And it's like I don't really have no reason to go to the store. You know what I'm saying? And but I was just moved to go. As I went to the store, I saw her on my way to the store in the gutter. And I just reached out my hand. She looked because she saw it was me. And so I could see she felt shame. But I just put up my hand to her, pulled her on out of there, and let her know that I said, you know, Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. Making a long story short, the next time I saw her, she was in church and the choir, and she was cleaned up. And matter of fact, she was about to be evicted at that time, too. Still got a place, so it just showed love. She knew. And then other people said, why are you talking to her? No. And I said, I'm talking to her about the Lord. Oh, she ain't going to da-da-da, you know. But I paid that no attention, you know. And see, that's all she needed was someone, because she's in a neighborhood where they were just, you know, making her feel bad about herself. You know, but she found someone come along and would talk to her like she's a human being. Not talk down to her, but talk to her like she's a human being. And you know, it's like I have something to say about Jesus, although I'm in my condition. And so we would talk about the Word, and then a little bit would go my way. See, God could use me, but God would not have been able to use me in that condition had I been overpowering, or as you say, over spiritual, or it's all about me. You know what I'm saying? Are judging her, or listening to what other people were saying. You know what I mean? So to me, love is the greatest gift of all, and it would draw people because love shows kindness. And today's world, there is not no kindness. It's about me, myself, and I. You don't have yours, well, you know that's your problem, you know. And but to have someone to just accept you for who you are, at the level where you are, that could do wonders. That can just do wonders for people. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So love is the greatest resource.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest resource, and we should be freely offering that one to another.
Because
and
he
that
first
directs
loved
everything God. Else. That directs everything else, though. You know, if you have the, you know, just a basic sense of humanity and, you know, basic love for the your neighbor, that directs everything else. That guides everything else. Mm. Like, look, I don't want to see you struggle. So if you need a shoulder because you want to vent because you're upset about something that happened at work, or if you need, you know, a mattress because whatever, the one you have is 50 years old and falling apart, and I have the ability to give you that or to assist you, then love should direct that.
Amen. That's good.
So,
you know,
if you've got to bring other people in to collaborate and do what needs to be done for an individual, the love of that other person and yourself for this person in need, or even if it's just, you know, you see an elevation for them, an opportunity to bring them up, then love should direct that collaboration as well. So,
that's good. And, you know, oh, my gosh, that is so good, sister, because I was, oh, my gosh, I almost lost my train of thought about love. Okay, I have to come back because I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what? This is one of the things that I think that I'm going to do in addition to, you know, putting the book list together of just some recommended readings. And it may not be a whole book. It may be certain chapters, but as you were talking about love, I just thought about, you know, what does the Torah, what does the Quran, what does the Bible, what does all three of those religious books all say about loving yourself, and what do they all say about loving others, meaning loving your neighbor, in regards to what we're talking about with this PRF? Because, you know, sometimes one of the barriers that is there is a barrier of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me, amazing. And those of you who know me know that I'm a man of diversity because Christ was a man of diversity. So, you know, I can't be a Christian and not be a man of diversity. I just can't do it. Here's the point I wanted to make. We send our children to school from kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade because the law of the land says that in order to graduate from high school, you have to complete 12 years of college of high school, 12 years of education. And, you know, some people graduate earlier, but they completed 12 years of work probably in a quicker time frame. And isn't it amazing that we never question or challenge the books that we're sending our children to these schools? And the only thing we're doing is we're telling them, you got to do what they tell you to do. But then something that is a religion that is a little bit different than ours, we have a problem with, society-wise, denominationally-wise. So I want us to be able to connect because, again, it's about how do we connect as people, as human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, those of you who've been on the PRF table for a while and also when I was on Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen, I had Saeed on there, and that's my cousin. That's my cousin, Saeed. And Saeed is very, very knowledgeable of the Bible, more knowledgeable than a lot of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
His theological perspective, the only difference is a theological perspective. We both believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus a different way. But at the end of the day, here's why me and Saeed have such a good relationship. Not because, I mean, you know, we grew up together. He was my older cousin, you know, helped me out during the years and all that kind of stuff and helped groom me in addition to other important men in my life. But I knew Saeed before Saeed became Saeed. So he wasn't Saeed when he was growing up. But here's the thing. He says that he and I both respect each other enough to be able to have conversation with each other. And one time he talked to me about how some Christians won't have conversation with him because it's all about trying to convert him from Islam to Christianity. That's deep, because that ain't love. Why would I want to do that versus being able to let you be your authentic you? The reality is this. We all going to roll up out of this earth one way or the other at some point or the other. I'm taking my chances where I'm taking my chances. You can take your chances where you take yours. We ain't even got to agree on it. At the end of the day, we're going to find out. It's as simple as that. But we have enough respect for each other, and we love each other enough as creatures who God created. God created him just like he created me. So love has to be the glue that keeps this whole thing together. Here's what I think we're going to be doing next week. I think what I would like for us to do, and let's prepare for our meeting next week, is to really deal with that 13th question on the survey. What resources are made available to the that address the financial related needs by the religious organizations? And I want us to look at the responses. So as we talk about religious books, we already got that. Quran, the Torah, and the Bible. Maybe another book out there, I don't know, somebody else who has another book, they can bring it to the table and we can talk about it. But now let's also look at specific scriptures. And that's why I went through this whole spiel about looking at what scriptures or what is a commonality of loving self and loving each other as our neighbors in all three. Because we want to be able to see what is there that we need to be looking at that's going to help us to communicate with each other. So I'm going to go and I'm going to be looking at, again, several scriptures that deal with how do we help people with their financial related needs. As a Christian, I'll get with Saeed and ask him, what does the Quran say? If I get with one of my rabbi friends, I'll ask them what the Torah says, because people can hear it. And if you can send your child to a college, if you can send your child to a high school, if you can send your child to an elementary school and not know where anything comes from that's inside of any of those books, but can't listen to something that has been communicated by a man, one of God, that is outside of your religious organization or affiliation, then something is wrong with that picture. That's just my personal opinion. And let's talk about some specific books that y'all think can help people so that we can start building this list together. Maybe something that I may have knowledge about may help somebody in your circle, Shatara. Maybe something that you have knowledge about may help somebody in Mama's circle. And I think if we do stuff like this, y'all, I think that is breaking down barriers. That's bringing this thing together, coming to a whole different place of where some of us find ourselves at in today's time. So, Shatara, do you have any closing comments for us as we go ahead and shut it down for this evening?
I just want to chime in on love again, you know. And it spans across all religions, the love of, you know, yourself and each other. And then because Christianity is my religion, I'm going to say, refer to Jeremiah 31 and 3. It says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you don't have to try to beat somebody over the head with Christianity, because if you show love and you build them up, they will be drawn to whatever that is in you. And that's how you draw them. Not by saying, condemning everybody to hell who's not Christian. You love them to God. Love them to God.
Wow. So, amen. Mama, what you got for us?
Okay. The scripture that's coming up in my mind was that, and I'm just paraphrasing, how can I say I don't love my brother and my sister? Scripture say, well, how can I say I love God when I'm not seeing God? But I can't love my brother or my sister, but I say I love God. And he says, no, something's wrong with that. No, you have to love here first on earth.
Yeah.
And once we learn to love here on earth and just love people unconditional, regardless to what they said, how mad we be, or they hurt us and all that, just love them unconditional like Jesus loves us, then we can love God. That's it.
Our greatest resource.
Greatest resource. Well, my brothers and my sisters, thank you so much for just spending your time with us on the PR table, talking about financial resources, availability, needs, and effectiveness and practicality. So this is our fourth episode, and we're going to continue on. And visit us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. For those who are listening online or maybe listening to the archive at a later date, call in. Call in and listen to what we have going on here at the PR table. Chime in. We would love to hear you. 914-338-1692. On behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, we say God bless you. We love you, and we have hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Talk to y'all later, y'all. Y'all have a good one, okay?
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The power of prayer. Every time I call him, he will be right there. Yeah, may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So tell me what you're waiting on. Why don't you give prayer?